But that doesn't matter. The Spirit's still here. So just start playing again and let's just let the Spirit come in you tonight. Just take it in and just let it come in and flood your soul. If you've had a bad week, this is how you get over that bad week right here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. So good. Just flood our souls, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us peace, Lord. Thank you for peace, Lord. Hallelujah. Joy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So when you're having a bad week and everything's going wrong, and just remember, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And we have tongues to bring us out of things, and the Holy Spirit will come in and it'll just make you feel so good. And you know, people tried to get to me yesterday, and they did in a couple of ways, but you know, if I hadn't have prayed in the Spirit on the way to work yesterday, I might have said something or did something that I shouldn't have said or done. So it's very important, and I encourage you, I encourage myself, because I don't do it like I should. But praise and worship is, you got to do it. We got to have it. God just loves it when we just let it go and just praise Him, worship Him. That's what He wants. So turn around and shake hands with someone. Tell them you're glad they're here. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know God's good? I mean, my goodness. I just love Him. I just love it when He just reaches down and just touches me. He'll do that anytime we want it. You realize that? Anytime we want it, He'll do that for us. Okay, if you need an envelope, raise your hand. Ushers, come on and coming behind you right there. Good to see you, Chris, by the way. I see you back there. It's good to see all of you. But a couple of verses I want to share with you real fast so we can get Pam up here. Philippians 4:19, talking about giving. Says, and my God will meet all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. So I'm telling you, standing up here tonight, that my God, the God that I serve, that I give to, that I tithe to, that I give my offerings to, will meet all of your needs. He's meeting my needs, but I say that to you as encouragement. He'll meet your needs. He wants to meet your needs. And that's, you know, when it comes to our giving, and I grabbed this a while back, I still could probably give more, and I want to give more. But when things are, you know, we hinder ourselves a lot of times because we're afraid, maybe if I give this away, I may not get anything back. You know, I've got a little nest egg here, and I'm going to keep it, because if I give it, then I won't have it. And I, you know, it's a fact that If you'll give that money that God's telling you to give, He will return it to you more than what you gave. I've proved it. A lot of people here have proved it, and we're still proving it. I proved it last week. I could stand up here for 30 minutes and tell you stuff, but it's a constant all the time. We give, we receive. You know, and we give because we love God. We give because we love people. But we give because we need. We need money. We need things. We need God to bless us so we can bless others. So don't get so religious in it. Well, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to ask God to bless me because that's being selfish. No, That's what he said. He said, if you would give, he'd give to you. So we got to do that. That's don't get to feeling bad because you're expecting God to give you something. A big part of giving and receiving is receiving. That's probably the hardest part that we have to get used to. I know you guys have heard this, we hear this, but I'm just here to remind you. And another verse in Proverbs 18 says, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. Okay, now we think God's the great, and yes, he is, but he has great things for us. That great is talking about God, and then it's also talking about the things that he's given us and that he's going to do for us. He wants to bless us. I figured that out. God desires to bless me. He wants to. So how we get blessed is giving, not just money, time. We give our efforts, we give our money, we give all kinds of stuff. We give our wisdom, our knowledge, whatever. And God blesses that. So always be willing to give something. Every time we come here, we should give something. Whether it's money or just, how you doing? How you doing, brother? I hadn't seen you before, but I'm glad you're here. Okay? So I just sowed into that man's life right there, and that'll bless me. Does that make sense? No? I hope so. All right, let's pray over the offering. Father, I just thank you for what you give us, Lord. I thank you that these people are blessed. These people are a blessed group of people because they give to you, Lord. We're taught that here, and we do it here. And we're going to keep doing it, and I just pray over this offering tonight, and I call it blessed. Every hand that put money in that bucket tonight is blessed of you, and they will receive from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come forward. You guys should know that. That giving blessed tonight. You are blessed because of what you just gave. All right. If you gave out of the right heart, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. I believe that with everything in me. All right. We got a good gift for us tonight, a good little pleasure. I've been in the office with her some today and probably about drove her crazy and she had to get up here. But Pam's going to preach tonight and let's give her a hand. Hallelujah.
Had to bring this cloth up here because my glasses were fogging up. I'm so hot. So, praise the Lord. All right. Well, you know, I always like to share some little crazy little thing before I get started. So, tonight's no exception. And this one's called Terrorist in the Church. And it said, the latest news reports are that there are 5 terror cells that have been operating in certain churches. Church security identifies these as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing. I think a lot of been missings are here. Their leader is Osama bin Lucifer. And he trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and to work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy the pastors and the churches. But there's a tiny cell known by Ben Workin that's also counterterrorism in the church. And this group appears to be very weak at times, but it's easy to detect because it's the only group that is active in the service to Christ. Unlike the true terror cells, The Been Working team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Been Working visibly does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that Been Working sales have a different characteristics than others. They've been watching, they've been waiting, they've been praying, and they've been longing for Jesus' return. Which cell group do you belong to? 2 Thessalonians says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Those are the been sleeping, the been arguing, the been fighting, and the been complaining, and the been missing. He said, "But there's a group," and Mark tells us, "but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you don't know when he's coming." Because we've been praying, and we've been watching, and we've been waiting. And I love what Pastor, that prophecy that came forth a couple of weeks ago. We were on vacation, and we were sitting in the parking lot. I was waiting on my family to go eat lunch. And we were watching the streaming, the live streaming. And Pastor was prophesying. Let me tell you, you could feel the anointing coming through the streaming video. And it was so strong in that car, I didn't want to go in and meet with my family. But, and I love that. He's coming soon. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to speak tonight a little bit on sort of what I seem to always talk on. Praise. And Todd was just leading right into it, which was wonderful. Several years ago, when we were in the old church, so it's been a long time, been over 25 years ago, there was Pastor Ronnie said, "Pam, for 1 year, when you teach Sunday school, when you speak in the church," he said, "you are not to teach or talk on anything but praise and worship." So for 1 year, all I did was study on praise and worship. So now, when I read my Bible, things about praise just sort of leap off the page. So that's what happened when Pastor asked me Tuesday night if I would speak tonight, and I said yes. You don't tell the pastor no. So, but I was studying, and I was in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And excuse my voice, and I'm going to get some water here. Hold on just a second. I also want to say, I told a couple of them, I was going to bring the a platform down here, a pulpit down here, and stand behind that pole, because there's a certain place you can stand that camera can't pick you up. And I thought instead of pole dancing, I'd be pole preaching. But then I got to thinking, if I did that, I would stick out on both sides. And that wouldn't look good either. So I decided against that. But I want you to know, all of y'all that are streaming, you know, they say that television puts 10 pounds on you. Well, that's a lie. It's 100. I'm just telling you right now, what you're seeing is 100 pounds more than what's actually up here. Okay? I hate that. I like it when I'm not here. But I was going to get these girls to come up here and powder my face and everything, so where I'd sweated, but I thought that was just a little too extreme for my close-up. So anyway, so much for that camera. But let's believe God. We want some new cameras in here, because this is a ministry that's going out and it's touching lives and everything. And we're believing God that's going to give us some good cameras and good sound equipment that'll work, and our praise and worship and everything's just going to sound good. So let's just come in agreement with our pastors that we're going to get some good camera equipment in here. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And go, let's see, this is where David, he's in the cave of Adullam. And I was reading this, you know, this is where the men came to him, all those that were in debt, that were distressed, and that were discontented. And they were in the cave. Now go down to verse 5, is where I want to go to. "Now the prophet Gad said to David, 'Do not stay in the stronghold, depart and go to the land of Judah.'" Well, when I read that, something just went off on the inside of me. Don't stay in the stronghold. Get to praise. Don't stay in the cave, David. Get to praise. And I believe that's the message that God's wanting us. Todd was all over it tonight. Get out of the cave. Get out of the stronghold. Get out of whatever's holding you back. Get out of the worry. Get out of the fear. Get out of whatever's troubling you and get to Judah. Get to praise. And that's where God is bringing us to. That Sunday that the prophecy came forth, the praise and worship was so anointed in this house. I mean, it was streaming through the airwaves and you could feel that anointing. I could only imagine what it was like in this place. And I, you know, Sheila was going, yippee. And we were in that car going, yippee, you know. And I was so, I mean, the anointing was so strong. And it came in because of praise and worship. And I know after that service, you were in no cave. You were in no stronghold. Y'all had reached to the land of Judah. But praise is such a mighty, mighty weapon for us. You know, Psalms 149:6. And I gave Jason a list of some of my verses, so maybe he'll keep up. Very good, guys, because some of them I don't have here. But Psalms 149:6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute on them this written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Praise is a weapon. The word of God is a weapon. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. And as Todd said when he was taking up the offering, tithers' rights. That's one of our weapons we have. There's really no reason for us to be defeated, is there? There's no reason for us to be discouraged and down and out, because we have the word of God, we have his praise, we have his blood, and we are tithers. Amen? Praise brings deliverance, and it's an honor. I love that he said it's an honor that we have. 2 Chronicles 13, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I probably, anytime I talk on praise, I talk on this part of this scripture. I woke up yesterday morning and I had all this crud in my head. And I said, not today, devil. Not today, devil. The other night I woke up and I guess it was probably maybe Tuesday night after Pastor had asked me to preach. And I woke up and I couldn't feel my right side. And I said, okay. And I got up and my arm was like it was drawn and it was pulled up and everything. And I got up and I just began walking through my house and I began to lift my hand and I began to praise God. And that symptom passed. Thank God. That's what praise will do for you. Amen. All right, 2 Chronicles 6. And like I said, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. This is... I'm not chopped. Chapter 6, chapter 13. Wrong. We'll come back to 6 in a minute. We're going to 13, chapter 13 first. This is where Jeroboam and Abijah, where it used to be Jeroboam, Rehoboam, you know, you hear Pastor them talk about it. It's where the 10 tribes, they split. 10 went north, 2 stayed south. Well, Rehoboam had died, and Abinadab was now the king of Judah. And Rehoboam was going to come, had come against them. And let's go to verse 14. And there was 400,000 with the tribe of Judah and 800,000 with the tribe of Israel. So they were outnumbered 2-1. And verse 14, and said, and when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both the front and the rear. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpet. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you look out and you've got trouble in front of you and you got trouble behind you and you don't know what to do? What am I going to do? God, there's no way out of this. The enemy's in front and the enemy's behind. What am I going to do? Well, let's find out what they did. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened. Praise God, that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah, and the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Go down to verse 18. Then the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Praise. They gave a shout, and the Bible says, if you look that word shout up, it means war cry. They let out a cry. You remember watching those Westerns, and the Indians are coming, they're going, woo, 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 woo. It puts a fear in those, I couldn't believe I did that. That's pretty good, wasn't it? I didn't even practice that one. But they let out a war cry that let the enemy know that God was on his way. And you know, when the cavalry would sound the charge, you know, dun, 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 dun. I did that one time and it sounded like Bonanza. So, but anyway, they knew that somebody, help was on the way. And when those children of Israel let out that war cry, God heard it in heaven and it caused heaven to move. And that Israel, God came down and just defeated 800,000 men, wiped out. Amen. So don't tell me God can't work in your situation. Don't tell me God can't pay your bills. Don't tell me God can't heal your body, because all you got to do is stand before him and let out a war cry and say, God, I don't know how I'm getting out of this, but woo, 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 woo. Glory to God, I'm coming out. Did you hear that, devil? I'm not staying here. You may be in the front and you may be behind, but let me tell you, God's coming down and I've got victory inside. Amen. Oh, we could write a song that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. And y'all know about Joshua and Jehoshaphat. I mean, Joshua and the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. And what did they do? They shouted and the walls came down. Jehoshaphat got out there and the army was before him. And he didn't know what to do, and he prayed and he sought God. And then he said, get all the singers. Get them all out here. He said, you're going down first. And they began singing, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And by the time they got where the enemy was gone and dead, and there was nothing left but the spoil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, I get so excited sometimes when I preach. It's that old Pentecostal coming out of me. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. And see, I talk fast, but we get out of here quicker. I can say a lot really quick. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31, and I asked them to put it up in the NCV, that century version, because I like the way it read. And it said, Assyria will be afraid when it hears the voice of the Lord, because he will strike Assyria with a rod. When the Lord punishes Assyria with a rod, he will beat them to the music of tambourines and harps. He will fight against them with his mighty weapons. Amen. Can you imagine God? When we play the music, he is beating the enemy. It says with every strike of the instrument, we're punching the enemy. We're punching the enemy. When you begin to praise God and you begin to sing, or when Raymond and Christy's on the drums and Colby's playing, when they begin to play, they're striking the enemy. And I just picture little Karen Nesbitt over on that tambourine going, bam, this one's for you, devil, ping pong with that tambourine. So when you see Karen Nesbitt up here and she's doing that tambourine, just picture her doing that on the devil's head. Just picture her just beating the heck out of him. So when I read that, I thought, man, that's Karen. That's Karen Nesbitt just beating the heck out of the devil. Amen. So with every strike, every strike of these instruments. When Julie hits that chord, every strike on these instruments is a strike against our enemy. So when we start praise and worship in this house, whatever's bothering you, whatever thing you've been going through, whatever it is, as we begin to praise, you just need to see the devil going, oh, and just getting punched all over. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 1 says, the children of Israel asked the Lord, who shall be the first to go up against the Canaanites to fight them? And the Lord said, send Judah first. Send Judah first. Let praise go up first. Let praise go up and fight the enemy first. Amen. Praise opens the door for the supernatural to take place. Acts chapter 16. Y'all know this one. Acts chapter 16. This is Paul and Silas. And they got thrown into prison because of the miracles that were taking place and everything. And verse 23. And it said, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, why do you think he put them in the inner prison? Because just a few chapters before, they had Peter in jail. And while Peter was in jail, an angel came in and set him free. So these jailers knew, hey, there's something about these men. And when they charged that jailer, he said, I'm going to put them in the inner prison. I'm going to make sure these boys are not getting out. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And y'all know the rest of the story, how the jailer and his family all got saved. And I love this part in there when they were going to, they said, just let them go. Let Paul and Silas go. Just let them go out the back door. Paul said, You put us in here openly, and you're going to let us out the same way. You know, you made a mockery of us, but you're going to let everybody know you're setting us free. Amen. But let me tell you, praise and worship will cause whatever's got you bound to loose, to let go. Amen. The enemy wants your praise. Turn to Psalms 137. We got a lot of scripture. I got a lot of scripture. There's so many. There's so much in the Bible on praise and worship. I mean, it's just, I could have studied on it for 2 years or 3 years. I'm still studying on it. But Psalms 137, and I love this psalm. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. And those who plundered us required mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And we said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can we sing with what we're going through? The children of Israel had been taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, how can we sing the songs? And they made fun of them. They said, come on, sing one of your songs. Let's hear those praise and worship. Come on, sing it. Had you ever felt like the devil's taunted you like that? Come on, Pam. You preached on praise and worship so much. Why are you down? Let me tell you, I'm the world's worst for getting in the mully grubs. I can cop an attitude with the best of them. Let me tell you. Because, see, I ain't got nobody at home to say, get your act together, girl. It's the joys of being single. It's also the disadvantages of being single. Where you got somebody can say, come on, pull yourself up. We're going to get through this. You know, so, and I'm the type of person that I don't talk to people. I'm very standoffish when it comes to my personal stuff or whatever I'm going through. I'm very, very standoffish. And that's a fault of mine. And it's not because people haven't tried. And they'll come up and say, are you okay? Raymond and Norma Jean, they'll send me a text. Brandy and Todd. Let me tell you, I work with Todd. I know when he's had a bad day. Let me tell you. Because I usually have a bad day. No, I'm just kidding. I am so blessed. I am so blessed to have to be able to work for Todd and for Sam and Shirley, and now I work for some attorneys, and it's just, I'm just blessed. God's blessed me. But I can get over into a bad place where I think I'm all by myself. I ain't got nobody. I don't have no family here. I just don't have nobody that loves me, you know. And I know everybody in this church loves me. And I know that. But the enemy comes up and tells you something totally different. So, and then the devil will come and say, yeah, Pam, won't you praise, you know, all that praise you've been talking about? Won't you do it now? And I'm going, shut up. I want to have a pity party. You know, it's what, Vicky. Miss Vicky was talking about having our pity party, and me and Heather, we're going to put together a musical one these days on songs, and that was one of ours. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. So that's one we want to sing across, also like the Johnny Cash, I'll walk the line, you know. So just throw that out there. One of these days you might see that coming to a theater near you sometime. But anyway, they said, why don't you sing us one of your songs? And they says, how can we sing the song of the Lord? Well, I want to tell you how they can sing. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon had already told them how to sing. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon has built the temple, and now he's blessing it. Let's go to verse 3. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hand what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. Nor did I choose any man to be ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name, and that I have chosen David to be over my house. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from the body, from your body, he will build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke. And I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I put the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the children of Israel. Now Solomon has blessed the people and now he's praying over them. And he said, listen, the temple is now in Jerusalem. This is God's city. This is God's throne. But I want you to look now, verse, and we're just going to skip around a lot through here. And Solomon told the people in verse 27, it said, if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned, you against you and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple. Verse 26, and when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because they've sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflicted them. Verse 28, and when there's famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, when their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, you turn toward the temple and you begin to pray. You confess your sins and you pray. Verse 34, when your people go out to battle against your enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen and the temple which you have built. Verse 37, and when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive, and they repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned and we have done wrong and have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried away captive, and they pray toward the land which you gave to your fathers, the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which you have built for them. Let me tell you, God said, I'll hear that prayer. They said, how can we pray in a strange land? Solomon told them, he said, when you're in captivity, when famine's on the land, when there's no rain, when sickness has come, you get your focus toward Jerusalem. You look toward that temple and you begin to repent and you begin to pray, and I'll hear your cry. Amen. So when we're in distress, you know where the temple of God is now? It's on the inside of us. And so when we're in distress, when we're in famine, when we're sick, when we don't know what to do, when we're just at odds, we just lost it, and we feel like we're in captivity, what do we need to do? We begin to lift our voice, and we begin to look toward the temple of God, and we begin to praise. We come to the house of God, and we begin to worship. Amen. How can you do it in captivity? Because God said, I've made a way. You just look toward Jerusalem. You look toward this holy temple, and I'll bring deliverance. Amen? So when they said, how can we sing in captivity? God had already told them, you look toward Jerusalem and you sing in captivity. Amen? Amen. Woohoo! Sorry. Lose track. I get so excited sometimes. Go to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah knew this concept also. Jonah's in the belly of the fish, whale, whatever you want to call it. He's in the belly. I heard a preacher say one time when we were at Norval Hayes meeting, he said, Jonah was coming out of that whale one way or the other. He was either going to come out through the front or he was coming out the back end. And that's the truth. He was going to come out one way or the other. I'm glad he came out the front way. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. And this is from the NLT version. And he said, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false God turn their back on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. And I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Amen. What did Jonah do? What it said here? He said, in my earnest prayer to you, he looked up toward the temple. He looked up. See, he knew what Solomon had prayed. When you're in distress, Jonah, and let me tell you, Jonah was in distress. I would not want to be in the distress that he was in. But he looked up. And he looked toward the temple, and it said, and he began to praise God. And when he did, that belly, that fish got so sick, he just threw him up on the land and in the right place where he needed to be. Amen. All right, praise brings restoration. Daniel chapter 4, and you're going to think this is really odd scripture for praise and worship here. We're going to talk about King Nebuchadnezzar, as Andrew says, Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar this was his second dream. His first dream was about the image that he built, and he had them bow down and worship. And you all know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship. And they threw them in the fiery furnace, and there Jesus met them in that furnace, and no harm came to them. But this is Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. And in Daniel chapter 4, let's start with, there's a lot of places I want to go here. Let's go to verse 9. Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you and no secret troubles you, explain to me the vision of my dreams that I have seen and its interpretation. First of all, notice he knew that Daniel knew God. He said, I know that the spirit of the holy God, not just God, he said the holy God. And see, Nebuchadnezzar had already run into him with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So this man knew something about the holy God. Not just, they had a lot of gods, but he knew something about the holy God. And Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel his dream, and you can read that through a couple of those verses, but we're going to skip over to Daniel's interpretation of the dream. Go to verse 20. And it said, "The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelled, and whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominions to the end of the earth." Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar. And this I got not from the Bible, but from some Jewish history and from history off the internet, if you can believe that. But Nebuchadnezzar was a great warrior. They say he was one of the greatest warriors that there ever was. He was just... They said people studied him, studied how he fought, sort of like Alexander the Great. But Nebuchadnezzar was a great warrior. But he was also a great architect. And Nebuchadnezzar, this is something I found that was in the Jewish history. And it said, "Nebuchadnezzar was especially proud of the Ishtar Gate and his processional way, and left an inscription describing them and his reasons for creating them, which read in part how he had the gates made. They were made of bricks with blue stone." And they say these stones, these blue stones, were extraordinary. And as they began to uncover some of that stuff over there, you can still see some of these blue stones that were in the city of Babylon. "Bricks with blue stones on which were wonderful bulls and dragons were depicted. I covered their roofs by laying majestic cedars lengthwise over them. I hung doors of cedar adorned with bronze at the gate openings. I placed wild bulls and ferocious dragons in the gateways and thus adorned them with luxurious splendor that people might gaze on them in wonder." And they say these animals that he put in these bricks were covered in gold. And they said it's one of the most, you know, and Nebuchadnezzar is known for his hanging gardens. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. And one scholar wrote, he said, these gates and this road that he made also should have been a seven wonder, one of the wonders of the world, because it was so spectacular. Now, this is the man that Daniel just said in this dream. "O king, you have grown, you've become strong, for your greatness has grown, and it reaches to the heavens and your dominion to the end of the earth." This man had become great. And verse 23, it said, "Insomuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field till seven times passed over him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree, the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And insomuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." Daniel said, this is what's going to happen, Nebuchadnezzar. You are great. He said, but heaven is watching. He said, there's a watcher. And he said, they're going to come down and they're going to cut down that tree. You're that tree. He said, but they're going to leave the stump. And he said, and for seven times, they say it's 7 years. For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to eat with oxen. You're going to be out in the field with the wild beasts. Your hair's going to grow long. You're going to be an animal. You're going to act like an animal. But Daniel said, this amazed me. He said, "But listen, repent. Perhaps God will lengthen your days." And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." Is that not sad? He was warned. Daniel said, "Listen, Nebuchadnezzar, repent. Be nice to the poor. You know, start doing things right. And maybe God will turn this around." But 12 months later, he was walking going, "Look what I did. Look at this gate. I made this gate. See these gardens? I did this. Look at what I did." And the Bible says while the word was still in his mouth, the word came down, "The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. It happened. Let me tell you, God's word will come to pass. Need to heed it. So here he is, Nebuchadnezzar, this great and mighty king, now is out in the field and looks like a wild animal. Went totally insane. He can't even comprehend. He can't even talk. He is acting like an animal. He's out there eating grass. That's the only way he's surviving, eating grass. This great man that the Bible says was a great architect, was a great warrior and everything, he's now totally insane. Let me tell you, we may mess up sometimes, and we may get far away from God, but we're never too far away. And I love this verse. And it said, "At the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven." Lifted my eyes. He couldn't speak. He couldn't talk. But he looked up. The Bible says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth." Have you ever been the place where you couldn't pray? Have you ever been down so low that you couldn't say anything? You couldn't pray? You couldn't praise? You couldn't do nothing? But all we have to do, church, sometimes is just look up. Look up. And the Bible says when he looked up, that his mind came back to him. He said, "I lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and I praised and I honored him who lives forever." Let me tell you, sometimes we can get so low, and I have been there. I have been so low, I didn't know what I was going to do. But I knew if I could just lift up mine eyes and get a hold of God and begin to praise. And once you get, and see, just need to lift up. And then you get, all of a sudden, it's like, okay. It's like Todd praising it, praying in tongues. And just like, whew, I can handle it now. I've got it now. I couldn't pray a minute ago. I couldn't pray a while ago. I couldn't pray a week ago. But I could look up. Sometimes in church, we may not be able to pray. We may be so discouraged. We may be so hurt. But all you got to do is, like he said, spread out those arms and look up. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleep. And I didn't quote that exactly right, but you know what I mean. Amen. Praise brings restoration. Praise brought restoration back into Nebuchadnezzar's life. And he went on down to say, he says, his for his dominion, not Nebuchadnezzar's. See, his whole attitude's changed now. It's not about him no more. It's about the holy God. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand. Oh, say to him, what have you done? In other words, he began to praise. He said, listen, there ain't nobody like you, God. There ain't nobody like the holy God. There ain't nobody from generation to generation. I believe Nebuchadnezzar's in heaven. I believe this man got a glimpse of God. When this started, he didn't even know. I mean, he sort of knew who God was, but he wasn't what we call one of the children of Israel or anything. But let me tell you, he learned really quickly who God is. He looked up. Whew! Makes me feel good. So praise brings restoration. Praise brings healing. Praise brings increase. Psalm 67. Praise brings increase. Psalm 67. Let me get there. Oh, I want to read Psalms 149:6. I think I missed that one earlier. You can stay in Psalms 67. I'll read Psalms 149:6. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword. I did read that, didn't I? In their hand to execute vengeance. I just didn't take my little note off here. Okay, Psalm 67. Praise God. Verse 5, it said, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. How are we going to get increase in our life? By praising God. When we praise God, then the earth yields increase. I don't know about you, but I need some increase in my life. So I need to get busy praising God. And I believe God is bringing us in this house. We're going to see the supernatural through praise and worship. And it's through the word, but praise and worship sets the atmosphere, just like it did a couple of weeks ago. Set the atmosphere for the word of God to come forth in this house. It prepares us. It gets you out of your muddy grubs. Gets you out of the place. So if you're out there and praise and worship's going on, you say, I just don't feel like it. Just lift up your eyes. Just begin to pray. Start where you're at. Just begin to praise. You need increase? Praise God. You need healing? Praise God. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, what did the Bible say? He said he took that food and he gave thanks. And I don't believe he said, God is good, God is great, bless his food. And one little simple prayer, you know. I believe he worshiped. I believe he took that food and he held it up to God and he began to give thanks and he thanked him for that fish. He thanked him for that bread. He thanked him that he knew God was a supplier of his needs and he began to praise God. And as then he gave that to the disciples and he said, set them down and things of 50 and then begin to feed them. And I believe the whole time he was doing that, I believe he was over on the side just worshiping God, because praise brings increase. Giving thanks to God brings increase. I need increase in my life. I need increase in my finances. I need my body touched. I need decrease in my body. I believe it can bring decrease also in some areas. But I believe that church, God is wanting us to begin to praise, wanting us begin to get wild with our worship. Begin, as pastors up here preaching, I love Wendy. And I love Keita when she's here, because there's something about when you're up here and people respond to what you're saying. It gets you excited. It gets you, oh, like, come on, I can go now. I can really preach. And what do you think that'll do to Pastor Ronnie when you're up here, when we start responding to the word that's going forth as it's going out, and we begin to say, amen, Pastor. Oh, yeah, Pastor, preach it. I'm talking to Pam, because I sit over there and I go, amen, 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 yeah. And I thought, I'll let Wendy do it. I'll let Keita do it. No, we all need to start doing it. Do you know what would happen in this place if all of a sudden we began to act like, I don't know no other way to say it, but a black church? I love preaching to my African-American friends. I loved it when I was in Jamaica. And boy, you could get them stirred up. I mean, you just begin, you just say, the name of the Lord. And they go, the name of the Lord. I'd say, is a strong tower. Is a strong tower. And they'd preach right with you. I mean, what took me 30 minutes would take me an hour. So if y'all would help me a little bit, I wouldn't be the shortest preacher in the church as far as length is. So we need to start worshiping. We need to start praising. And we need to start responding as this word goes forth and start acting like we enjoy it. Every now and then, just jump to your feet and say, preach it, Pastor. What's his name that used to come and say, what? Yeah, he's the boss. Bruce. He'd jump up. Now, he got, you know, I'm not saying doing this in the flesh. But every now and then, I think we need a he's a boss. I think we need to start standing up and start preaching and start just acting like we're glad to be here. Boy, preacher, I'm glad I'm here today. Boy, Pastor Ronnie, I'm glad you. Whoa, woo! Sound like Sue back there. You know, and I told you once before, that's how in our church, you know, we used to imitate the people. We used to imitate them in the congregation as they reacted to the preaching and everything. Is anybody imitating us? Ooh. I want to remember when the youth wrote the song about Norma Jean? Do the Norma Jean? Because she's so, let me tell you, when you're on this praise team, you know where Norma Jean is at. And God help you that she's next to you. Because, I mean, she just, I don't care if it's a fast song, it's a slow song, it don't matter. She's going to worship God. And I love that. See, gave our young people something to example, an example. I want to be an example. I want to be an example to the youth when they say, yeah, I want to get up there and preach like Pam does. I want to get up there and do like Pam. Amen. You need to be out there in the congregation and say, oh, man, I want to worship like they worship. Well, I want to be like them. I want to be bold like them. But God's bringing us to that, and it's going to take all of us doing it, just not Wendy, not Keita, not Norma Jean and Sheila, but all of us getting excited. I can't wait till the band gets so excited that they leave their instruments and begin to shout. I remember Josh, I don't know what service it was, but it's been a while back where he just put that bass down and went across the front of the church. Amen. We found out tonight we can sing without music. When the power went off, we sang without music. Julie, if you want to run, we'll sing without music. It may not be in key, but we'll keep singing. Christy, get off them drums. Stomp with your feet across the platform. We'll take off and run with you. Praise team. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with me. Amen. So whatever you need, praise God. Praise will bring it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's all I got. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. So go home and practice. Go home and practice your praising. you know, we practice everything else. We practice, you know, we need to practice our dancing. You know, just the minute we hear that music, something ought to just go off on the inside of us. We can't be still. We got to worship. We got to worship. We got to worship. We got to praise. Amen. So go home and practice. I won't be here Sunday because I've got to speak at another church, but I want to hear some good reports. Pastor say, Pam, I don't know what you did to them. I said, I didn't do nothing. God stirred them up. They lifted up their eyes. They got their eyes off of themselves and got them on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all go and be blessed and praise God. Amen. Amen.